Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Guys, I'm Melanie's daughter, Jennifer.
And I'm Betty's daughter, Jessica.
And it's totally going to make sense why we introduced ourselves that way in just a second. Before we get to our guest, what are we going to talk about, Jess?
We're going to be talking about Riri's new line. What's up with that?
Fenty Beauty.
Fenty. Then scalp health. What you need to know. And then last, the 90s beauty moment that may, for some of us, come a little too soon.
Well, if you're in your 30s, yeah.
It was like yesterday. I literally just put my stuff away.
And our guest is Carol's daughter, which is Lisa Price, the founder of hair, skin, and body brand Carol's Daughter.
Cannot wait.
So, Jess, as you know, I'm obsessed with all things Rihanna. One of them being her Fenty Beauty line that's coming out, her cosmetics line, which I think we've talked about. Well, we got excited about it.
You were really excited about it.
And I made you come along for the ride. Well, anyway, as I stalk all things Rihanna on Instagram, I noticed that there's a new Instagram handle a couple days ago went up, Fenty Beauty Cosmetics, at Fenty Beauty Cosmetics. Like, is this the beginning of the line? So then I'm looking, and they did a post about a holographic lip color, and I'm like ready to like tell the world Fenty Beauty is coming, and the first product is a holographic lip color.
Do you want to wear holographic lip color?
Okay, whatever, Rihanna made it. I want to wear it. So of course we are good beauty editors that like do some sourcing though, and I did a little investigation, and you did too actually, because I got excited
actually,
and told you.
Mine was quite passive because I just like woke up and there was an email in my inbox like going off about Fenty Beauty and like, do not believe like the hype.
Well, everybody's in a tizzy. What's going on? So what's going on?
So I got this email. Good morning. We've received a lot of inquiries over the past few days following some social media buzz and postings about the
upcoming launch. Are you about to read an entire email?
No, just stick with me.
Okay.
About the upcoming launch of Fenty Beauty by Rihanna. Blah, 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 blah. Basically, there is a PR company, and what they want to say is that any other post or chatter about the Fenty Beauty launch that are basically from fans who are enthusiastically awaiting the launch, that made me laugh, and are unofficial. They are just as excited, and they promise that the launch will be worth the wait.
So that Instagram account is just like a fan account.
Exactly. But they did have some really cool information that Fenty Beauty has officially partnered with James Vincent, who is leading the charge on their search for a global makeup artist for Fenty Beauty.
He's not the global makeup beauty artist?
No, they just said that they've officially partnered with him.
So he's probably going to help the same way Charlotte Tilbury helped Tom Ford do his, you know, do his line of cosmetics. He's probably going to help find someone and help work on the creation of the products, you think?
I'm not quite sure what his role is going to be, but I think it's cool. I think it's cool that he's involved because he's a cool guy. Like, I remember a long time ago, he did a line called Pretty Pretty. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And that had like really whack textures, really cool. Speaking of holographic, he had actually some really cool like holographic like eye, lip, cheeks like formulations. And he was just kind of punk. Like, I felt like his formulas and his kind of whole aesthetic was really neat. But to be honest, I mean, I haven't kept up with James over the years. But I am a little surprised by this partnership. Mm. He's always doing like cool beauty shows and stuff.
But maybe it makes sense with the textures you were talking about.
I guess. I mean, he's just, he's an interesting guy. So,
so basically,
it's a kind of watch this space for me, but I woke up and I was like, whoa, everyone chill. I didn't even know that people were like going off about this.
Well, I am because I watch these things. And so really all we can say is speculation continues.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Oh, no, no.
What's my name?
Oh, Nana, what's my name? Oh, Nana, what's my name?
I saw a wicked image the other day.
Of what?
My own head.
I see your head every day.
But like deep inside. Like, you know, when you have the opportunity as a beauty editor, sometimes like you'll go to an event and they'll be like, would you like to see a photo of your face like, you know, photo aged, like how you look under a camera, we'll absolutely want to vomit after seeing it. And I'm always like, no thanks. Like, you know, I've seen that like my sophomore year of being a beauty editor. You know what I mean?
Yes,
this one,
absolutely.
I had the opportunity at the Aveda scalp event to take a look at my scalp, like up close. I've actually never had this opportunity.
I did it too, but we were not there together. That's funny. This is the first time I saw my scalp up close too.
Thank God I didn't have breakfast before.
It grossed you out?
Yes.
What did you see?
Well, I didn't know that it was inflamed. It just basically looked like a forest in like Star Wars, like the Neverending Story or something. Like there were goblins and like things hanging out there. It was like thick reeds,
sprouting from.
Yeah, it was messed up. It was a dark goblin territory. But the guy said that like the flakes and the inflammation, everything. He's like, it could be that I have very sensitive scalp. And I hope
add this to the list.
Tell me that I don't exactly. Like, I'm surprised I can actually like get up out of bed in the morning. But I don't think I have heavy dandruff, but I do in the winter have very tight scalp. I'm actually using a dandruff shampoo right now. I was actually going to raise a wand to it at some point. I'm using the Dove Plus Care. It's really nice, but I'm actually going to be swapping in some of the Aveda products soon.
Did you see dandruff in the picture?
I did. Yeah.
Ew, maybe that's flakes. Why you didn't like your picture.
Yes, but I also saw an inflamed, angry little scalp. And he told me that that is very much like symptomatic of redheads. Like, you know, we can have sensitive skin. My body skin is very sensitive.
Yes.
We talked about that.
That's interesting that you bring that, because when mine was sensitive and dry, didn't have the dandruff. And I said, that's so funny. My face skin is sensitive and dry. And the expert was like, obviously people always forget this. And it's something good to remind people. Your scalp is really just an extension of your face.
Isn't that crazy? Why aren't we thinking about that? Like, it's not like you have a new, like, head, a new like.
Right, like you're not gonna have oily skin and then all of a sudden when you get up to here, the skin just changes completely.
You didn't get a fresh start.
Exactly. So, like, I think what they were trying to focus on is like you should treat your scalp sort of like you treat your face. Like, it should be getting the same thing, activities that you do to your face, like exfoliation, for example, which was, I think, what ended up happening.
Oh my God,
mine.
They gave me some amazing stuff. They gave me this thing. They gave it to you too. This thing called the Prama. I love their names. Pramasana.
Pramasana comes out in like 2 months, I think.
Yeah, so
but
stay
basically,
tuned for this.
It's like a clarifying treatment for your scalp. And I was never really into these scalp exfoliators. I thought it was a lot of like marketing hoo-ha. But they made a really good point, which is this. Apparently, as stuff builds up, whether it's dandruff, we've talked about this with dry shampoo and things, products, bacteria, the whole of the follicle that your hair or your Star Trek Woods reeds come out of, it starts to get smaller and smaller because of that buildup. So then the hair, as it's sprouting through that, you look so grossed out right now.
No, I'm literally just thinking about like what kind of like Ewok was like running around my myself.
As the hair pushes through, you have a smaller diameter for it to come through. So the hair itself becomes thinner over time. Not because your hair is thinning, but because the follicle is a tighter squeeze.
Oh my God, it's like my own fault.
Yeah, and you make a skinnier hair.
I can't have that.
We got to get the Ewoks out and whatnot so that like No, it's true. It's like clarifying, exfoliating your scalp might actually help you to have thicker hair, which just kind of makes sense.
Completely, because it's like if you're not cleaning out the stuff, if you're not cleaning like... If you're not exfoliating the surface, not like with a scrub, but with like
they can't
something
flow.
Gentle. Yeah, I need to get that flow going. I need to clean out the forest.
So did you like the Prasam?
I loved it. I loved it. It's not a granular exfoliant. It's just this really nice like liquid. It smelled good. It felt good. And you just massage it onto the scalp. This lovely man did it for me, but I can absolutely do this by myself.
Yeah.
It wasn't a whole production. I don't like things that say like, take 20 minutes. Like, go have a snack. Like, put your towel on your head. That's not happening in my life right now.
Yeah.
So like this was about, you know, 10 minute thing. You can just chill out, figure out something to do, and then just rinse out. I thought this was really cool, but it also just brought a lot of awareness to a part of my body that I'm not paying attention to at all.
Yeah, and so those same ingredients that you would use to exfoliate your face are some of the ones that are in these products, like AHAs or light kind of exfoliating mm-hmm. acids, tea tree, that kind of thing. That definitely has some menthol in it because it tingled when they put it on me, which I liked quite a bit, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it was nice.
So if you have thinning hair or you've got like gunk up in there.
Oh, you could put it on dry hair too, which is great. That
yeah.
means you can do it before the shower, like text or like go empty the dishwasher and then like... There you go.
But no, you should look into that. If you have thinning hair and you've looked at other things, vitamins, whatever, think about cleaning out your follicles, people.
Kamasana.
You say, I only hear what I want.
Wow. Jen, I've heard of Kickstarters for a lot of worthy causes.
True, yes.
Some are pretty serious. This one's not.
It's like, what charity are we talking
no,
about?
No, no.
What's okay. their Kickstarter for?
There is a Kickstarter for a Lisa Frank makeup collaboration.
Lisa Frank!
Now, for those of our listeners who don't know who Lisa Frank is a real person, but it's best known as a brand. Her iconic artwork are like penguins on surfboards.
With a rainbow tint. I had some stickers that had unicorns for sure.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I had a little
on
like
a skateboard,
teddy bear.
Maybe. Was yeah. teddy bear skateboarding?
And the teddy bear had a top hat and some chill sunglasses, and he was like a conductor of an orchestra, but
yes,
he might have
was.
Been like on a keyboard out in space.
And he was neon pink, blue, yellow, purple, green.
Oh, hell yeah, he was.
Lisa Frank.
There's so many great images. There's so many great images. This was really most popular in the late 80s, early 90s, and it's like on Trapper Keepers and all kinds of good stuff. But listen, the thing is, there's a huge resurgence of Lisa Frank imagery right now, and a lot of people want this on makeup.
I think it's a great, like, idea.
I
but who owns the license and who's starting a Kickstarter for it?
I think Lisa owns the license.
You know what? Honestly, I didn't know Lisa was an actual person.
Lisa is an actual person. I respect that, like, she's not out in the public too much. But there's... The whole thing is like this person.
Her sticker empire.
Her sticker empire. Yeah, I actually saw Lisa Frank leggings recently, too. I mean, like, Lisa Frank is a really big deal. But what I'm kind of, like, freaked out about is that they wanted to raise this brand called Glamour Dolls Makeup, wanted to raise $30,000, and they have raised, as of today, $105,798 to get this makeup brand off the ground.
Okay. But first, let's talk about, are we that far removed from Lisa Frank that it is actually retro and there's nostalgia involved? I feel like we just had Lisa Frank stuff like yesterday.
I still have the folders, but I don't use them at work because I don't want people to think that I'm a child.
Okay.
like, yeah. But they're like my old ones.
If we're going to bring back 90s beauty products or 90s products in general, because like, why don't we bring back some of the 90s beauty products, not like Trapper Keeper, and make it into makeup?
Like, that's a really good point.
Think about all the... Like, okay.
Like, there are worthy ones that, like, we need to resurrect,
okay,
not just designs.
Let's do our Kickstarter right now.
Okay.
If we had to resurrect, I have two. Do you want to know them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Salon Selected?
Choose to be your most beautiful. Salon Beautiful.
Loved the shampoo and conditioning line so much. You would pick your letter
yes.
and your color and one of this conditioner and one of that shampoo. And I remember I wanted the H for highlighting, because I thought it was going to give me blonde highlights.
Oh, my
but
God.
Really, it was just the Color Care conditioner. It had a yellow H, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to get blonde highlights.
Wait,
if
did
I
your
use
mom
this.
Have highlights, and you just used it because it was like in the shower? Or did you actually go and select the H?
I selected the H,
oh
and I
God.
Thought, mom doesn't know this is going to color my hair in the shampoo. And like, that's why I picked the H. I mean, please. It was like a color protecting shampoo.
I cannot believe that. How have we never spoken about this?
I don't know, but it needs so good. So,
okay,
someone needs a Kickstarter for Salon Selectives.
Okay, give me one more.
You remember Ultima 2?
Yes, Kevin Aquan started that.
I did know that, actually. I know that now as a beauty editor. I did not know that then. It was too soon for its time. It was like a Naked's line of like bronzy sculpting powders. It was like strobing and contouring before that even existed. Nude lipsticks. He did the J-Lo lipstick color before J-Lo did it in the aughts. It was
God.
And it was drugstore. That was the best part. So I remember I had like a sculpty brown powder. I didn't know what to do with it. I just like dusted it everywhere and looked dirty, but I would like
everything
to
start. Was very brown.
Yeah, lots of brown. So Kickstarter for those two. What are you going to bring back?
I would say absolutely, absolutely Finesse shampoo and conditioner.
It never went away, girl.
Wait, it's still there?
And it smells exactly
the
same.
Wait, it's still around?
Yeah, you got to go to like Pathmark to like the cheapy aisle to find it though.
Okay, because I actually feel like the conditioner, nothing ever made my hair silky.
Me too.
Do you know what I mean?
After I would be swimming and my hair would be so dry, it was like lube. Like you would come out like, you think Pantene makes it silky? It was Finesse.
I don't understand. No other conditioner has ever improved on that.
If I had that smell for you right now and just squeezed it, it would bring you right back. Okay. I'm going to find a bottle of it for you. I have seen it. Okay, what else?
I can't believe it's still around. Yeah. I feel so silly. Okay. And then the next one is like for real. It's another shampoo product.
What is it?
Flex.
With the corn?
It was balsam protein.
Balsam protein. It had like a wheat on it, didn't it? Like a wheat?
I think it did.
Like a wheat stalk? What do you call it? With like the little fluffy at the top.
First of all, like it came out like half the bottle would come out whenever you like squeezed it open because the opening was so huge.
I think that was business strategy so you'd buy more.
Oh my God. It was so great. And it smelled great. Made my hair feel good.
It had wheat germ oil.
Yeah. I feel like hair products were like at their peak.
Yeah.
In like 91.
Also, there was only like 10 to choose from, so like you remembered them.
Yeah.
So whoever started this Kickstarter for Lisa Frank, let's just get back on and do some Flex, Salon Selectives, and
Ultima 2.
And then the people at Finesse will just send us them.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So our guest today is actually Carol's daughter, as in a woman whose mother's name is Carol, and the founder of Carol's Daughter beauty brand. It's a hair, body, and skincare line made with lots of yummy natural ingredients. And we have an extraordinary entrepreneur, Lisa Price, here. I said, in my head, you're still Carol's daughter. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
So for people who might not know, I think of you as like the woman who went from like the kitchen to the business entrepreneur in like zero time. And a lot of women, I think, do DIY products and they think, oh, it's so easy to start a business. But you were one of the people that actually did it. So tell me, take us back. How did you start your business?
I started as a hobby making products in my kitchen, kind of the way you would experiment cooking food, you know, trying out a new recipe or baking or something. I did it with body products. I started with lotions and creams and gave things to friends and family as gifts. And my mom thought that the products were really great, and she encouraged me to sell at a church flea market almost 24 years ago now.
Has it been 24 years?
May will be 24 years.
Well, yeah. Carol was a smart woman, apparently.
She sure was. She really was. And I started to sell at craft fairs and flea markets and different things in my neighborhood, then started to sell out of my home. And it was something that really grew out of word of mouth and me just having fun in my kitchen.
Well, can you remember like the very, very first product you mixed up?
The first one that I made was what we use today as the base for our hair balm, but at the time it was a body balm, and it was sort of this liquid moisturizer that was thicker than an oil but not quite a butter, like a liquid butter, and that base is in the hair balm today. And then the first things that I really started to sell were, I called them fragrant moisture butters. But it's basically the base that goes into our healthy hair butter and our face butter today.
Just butter, butter, butter. Oh, like you're making me hungry right now.
You were selling these in Fort Greene, right?
Yes, yes, Fort Greene and Clinton Hill. That was my neighborhood.
You were an inspiration to all of the like Brooklyn flea girls right now.
And a lot of times I'm misquoted as having started at Brooklyn Flea, and Brooklyn Flea didn't exist.
No, you're like the OG Brooklyn handmade.
I love it in the street.
I love this. I'd like to back up a little bit more, though. Like, when you were young, what was the first beauty product that you remember using yourself? Like, what were some of your favorites before you decided to do your own thing?
I have always been enamored of fragrance. So I gravitated to fragrance first, partly because my mother had no makeup whatsoever. My mother's beauty cabinet was a bottle of Oil of Olay, a jar of Pond's Cold Cream, one lipstick, one blush, and some mascara. That was it. And my grandmother had Chanel No. 5 perfume, and that's the first perfume that I ever remember smelling, and I just fell in love with it. And as a young girl, when a lot of my other friends would go to the mall and look at clothes, I went to the beauty aisle
and smelled perfume. She's speaking our language.
Yeah, I completely hear you.
Who were some of your beauty icons when you were growing up?
Diana Ross, for sure. Wow.
I mean, no one is coming to mind.
Right? Other than Diana Ross. Yeah, like she was just it, because she just, her skin just glowed and her hair was always different. And she was just like, even as a little kid, like you look at her and you're just like, she's fabulous.
Yeah.
Even though you don't know what fabulous is yet, you know?
Well, that's it. Diana Ross.
I know.
Sure. They're synonymous.
So you mentioned all these butters and you talked about whipping things up in your kitchen. And I've always thought of your products as, you know, really based in naturals. Like you find these amazing natural ingredients. But it's expanded a lot since your kitchen, obviously. Do you consider yourself like a natural brand?
You know, that term is a difficult one to use, because where you're merchandised and how you're sold in stores, yes, we're a natural brand. You find us in the natural section. That's what the store refers to it as. But when you get into legally what company, what state, what city calls what they call natural, natural is just so vague and broad and open. So I prefer to think of it as products that have their origins in different ingredients, and those ingredients have efficacy and they have a story and they have a culture. Like they're just not in there randomly because they show up on Google search, you know?
Yeah.
It's something that I feel passionately about, that I've encountered personally. I have experience with it. I have stories with it. But at the end of the day, you have to deliver something that's efficacious and something that's safe to the consumer. So is everything in it 100% natural? It can't be, and also be safe at the exact same time. So we take the approach of rich, great ingredients, efficacy, and putting in what we have to for it to be safe and stable,
yeah,
but leaving out things that we really don't have to put in
and
there.
You talked about that buttery base that's now in the hair products. Mm-hmm. Was that some, are there natural ingredients? Like what are we talking about? What kind of ingredients?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I
when you first made it, I guess.
When I first did it, no one knew what shea butter was. Now we all know what shea butter is, so shea butter sounds boring. But to me, shea butter and cocoa butter are everything. They're like butter and eggs if I'm in the kitchen baking. Like I can't bake without butter and eggs. I can't make body products without shea butter and cocoa butter. There's just a richness that they both add. You know how cocoa butter sort of melts in your hand like chocolate? So you have this immediate hard thing that turns into something oily and soft and starts to soak into the skin. But then shea butter has this density. And when they come together with other oils and waxes and things, you just get a texture that's hard to duplicate. You can whip it. You can, add water to it. You can fluff it because that shea butter just gives it that tooth. I love it.
Your products are very much known for having, you know, shea butter. I would say those are the foundations of your brand. Shea butter, cocoa butter.
Mm-hmm.
But also incredible scents. Like I know if we're getting something from Carol's Daughter, immediately I have to open it up and I have to like huff it. It's amazing. Tell me about, you know, how critical is the scent to the success of your products? I know that there's substance there. It's not just about the fragrance, but please let's talk about the fragrance.
There absolutely is substance there, but the fragrance is so important to me. Sometimes the fragrance will come first because I might smell something and that something will say to me, this is a shower gel or this is a scrub.
Can you give us an example of when that happened?
Okay, this isn't a shower gel or a scrub.
It's all right.
But we have a shampoo that we're working on for the future that smells like when you juice. Mm. And you're juicing like kale and spinach and cucumber. And you know how you shove the stuff down into the thing and there's like this aroma that pops up.
Like green
and it's
fresh
just wet and green and like makes your tongue water a little bit. I was doing that in my kitchen with, you know, kale and things and just thinking, wouldn't it be great to have this in the shower, you know? Mm. And I didn't know if it was going to be hair or body at the time. And we're working on a shampoo and it smells exactly like that.
When is it going to come out?
Probably 2018.
I feel like that's your way of like juicing. You'll put it in your hair.
Yeah, I was like, you're talking about, you know, when you're juicing and I'm like, mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, that idea that sort of led to what could it be and then what other ingredients can you use and then what is it going to do? But it started with that smell.
Yeah. The way you talk,
it
makes me feel like you're like a pastry chef or a chef. You almost talk like a cook when you're talking about beauty products. And you do tend to do these scents that are very food-based and gourmand. Do you think that's because you started in your kitchen or is it just like what you're drawn to? Like it's a
that's
weird,
funny.
But
yeah.
It's a weird connection, you
yeah,
know?
I think part of it is from starting in the kitchen. Part of it is what I'm drawn to. Part of it is also what people like. Because I also like woodsy things and herbal things, but people sometimes don't gravitate to that as easily. So I sort of sneak them in when I can. I do like gourmand, but not overly sweet, you know, not like a bubblegum kind of sweet.
Yeah.
And a lot of memories that we have are attached to food. So I think that's another thing that happens, like in particular vanilla. When people smell vanilla, they think of their moms or their grandmothers or birthday cake. Like it's always something that kind of makes them smile and makes them feel good. So when things make people remember things and when it makes them smile and feel good, they're going to keep going back to it.
Yeah. So true.
Or tropical scents, you know, things that have coconut or mango or pineapple, it might make you think of vacation. So every time you smell it, it's like, oh, I'm in the Bahamas yeah. again, you know, and that's the aromatherapy part of it.
I think one of the ways people got very attached to your products, not just the smell, but you had a very big endorsement. We have to talk about Oprah. We have to talk about Mama O. I'm going to keep my voice down because I think last time I blew out the speakers when I did that. You've probably gotten this question a lot of times, but Oprah was the first time that a lot of people heard about your brand.
Mm-hmm.
How did that affect the business?
You know, it's so amazing because it's been so many years since it happened, and it never gets old. She didn't have an effect on the business in the same way that a lot of people would think. You know, like they think you go on Oprah and then you make a ton of money and you have tons and tons of orders. And that wasn't the story for me. We did get a lot of orders and it was great exposure, and I'm not complaining at all. What came in for us as far as orders were concerned were very manageable, which was a good thing. So if it had been 10,000 orders or something like that, I don't know if I would have been able to manage that with the way that we operated at the time. But what it did for me personally was actually fulfill a dream. Because I used to joke about, well, you know, when Oprah calls me.
Don't we all?
well, you know, when Carol's daughter goes on Oprah.
Yeah.
And I figured it's a good joke because if it happens, that's great. But I didn't actually think that it was going to happen. So when it happened, I was actually forced into this position of, well, now you have to dream something bigger because that happened. And the other thing that it did was I was very obsessive about, you know, the label's not straight, or this is just, you know, it's not perfect. And if someone did something and they did it wrong, I would go and I'd redo it. And there was so much work after having been on her show and after having that exposure and so many more customers coming into our stores that I had to let those little things go so that I could focus on bigger things. And then eventually those bigger things allow you to have checks and balances to take care of those little things. But there was this like awkward period of like, okay, I can't focus on the fact that that's not straight because the customer now doesn't care the way that she did before because Oprah said she liked this.
Got it.
So she just picks it up and goes with it. So not that it's okay for something to be imperfect, but it helped me to let it go so that I could focus on bigger things. So for me, it changed the business because it changed my way of thinking about the business and thinking about myself.
It let you go to the next level. You could let
Absolutely.
Go. You could drop the small stuff and then work on the bigger stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really smart.
And then always have this miraculous thing. Like, you know, when things are difficult and tough, and I could always say, you know, but I was on Oprah.
I know, because it's been such a journey. How many years ago was that, by the way?
2002.
Okay, so you started
15 years.
Yeah, and that was what, 10, maybe 8 years after you had started the business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you have customers still that have been with you from the very, very beginning. And you obviously got more customers when you went on Oprah. And then your company has had investors. It's now owned by L'Oreal. It's been a journey. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when you started out, a lot of your customers were Black women from your community. Obviously, it started out through friends and family. Do you ever get pushback now that you're a bigger company and you reach a broader base of women and men, frankly, from those original customers feeling like, wait, but like we helped start you out? Or are they with you through this whole ride?
I think everybody has haters, but honestly, I don't believe any of the people that have said or, you know, written, because it's so easy for us to hide behind things on social media and say nasty things. I don't think that people who actually say those words were actually people there in the beginning. Because for the most part, people are proud to say, I used to shop with you in your house. I remember your basement. I remember when you would be in the kitchen and we'd be in your living room shopping. You know, so I always get a lot of positive reinforcement. I love being on social media because when I do put up some of the like Throwback Thursday moments, people will write and, you know, share their memories with me. So I think most people understand that brands have to evolve and be all that they can be. And then they have to understand that that doesn't mean that you forget where you came from. And I believe that social media also helps me with that, because if someone has any doubt that I've forgotten who I am, all they have to do is look at my Instagram feed and they know that's not true. You know, I still live in the same house. I still live in the same neighborhood.
Really?
You know, I'm always going to be a Brooklyn girl. I'm always a mom first. I'm always, always humble. I'm always respectful of where I came from, and I always thank people for being supportive. So if someone says something negative, I, you know, try not to pay attention to it, because I know it's not true, because I know who I am.
Yeah.
As a beauty editor, I always struggle with giving hair advice to people because hair products are so unique to the user. Like you give someone a lip color, it's like, okay, how bad can it really look? Mm-hmm. But if I give hair advice to one of my readers or one of our listeners, it might make another woman's hair look completely horrible. How do you balance like talking to women? I mean, there's as many hair textures and types as there are women out there. How do you make products that suit more than just one particular woman and talk to them in a way that lets them know which is the right product for them?
Again, I have to say I'm so grateful to social media because this is what really helps because it was so awful back in the days of emails and handwritten letters to try and decipher what type of hair the person has, what exactly is the struggle, people's perception of the hair. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say to me, my hair is so hard. And then I touch their hair and I'm like, no, your hair's really soft. You know,
even the words are like, that could mean anything.
Yeah, right. And then they'll say, oh, my hair is so dry. And you touch it, and if hair is dry, it tends to be dry and brittle. And if you scrunch it, it will break if it's really dry and brittle. There'll be, you know, a piece that comes off in your hand or something. And so it's not dry and brittle. It's just not shiny. It's not, it doesn't look the way that they think it should look. So they describe it in a negative way. So it was always really, really hard to offer advice. Now, because we have DIY videos and we have bloggers that we work with and we have, you know, studios that we can set up and give tips, we can broaden that and have different types of people.
Right.
So that hopefully someone's going to see themselves somewhere and say, oh, her hair is so much like mine. I'm going to try what she tried. And that makes a huge difference. And when I go on HSN, I always try to have 4 models at a minimum. Sometimes we'll have as many as 6 so that I can show different people so you can kind of see yourself and know how to use it. And one thing that I always tell people when I get to sell personally is a lot of us can use the same products. There are some products that will be more ethnic specific because they tend to work better on hair that's thicker or kinkier, and that person tends to be of a certain ethnicity.
Yeah.
But I try not to speak that way because I've seen it all. So,
you're speaking to the texture, not a person's heritage or their ethnicity.
Right. So there are some things that, you know, if I know that the majority of people to whom I'm speaking have a certain type of hair and are a certain ethnicity, there are some things that I'm not going to suggest. But there's a lot of things that fall in between those two spectrums that we can all use, but we just use it differently.
So I see your hair care line as the hair care products within your line as, you know, for all different hair textures, but you do have a lot of different products that are great for textured hair.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you, I think it's really interesting that there are so many different hair care brands from all different lines, like, you know, from Dove, Pantene. According to Mattel, hair care products for the textured hair customer, they say African-American hair care customer, reached 774 million in 2014. That's their latest data. That represents a 12% increase since 2009. So I want to ask you, since you're an authority in this business,
mm-hmm.
and you obviously have studied the competition, how do you think these products have actually improved across the board? Or do you think that this is, you know, these are brands that are trying to latch onto what they realize is a very, very lucrative market?
Well, some of the brands have been around as long or almost as long as I've been around. So some of them, we've been doing this for a while, and I don't feel like we're trying to latch on. And then the larger brands that move into this space, like, you know, a P&G or a Unilever, they, for many years, had a customer who was relaxing her hair, because up until, I believe, when I saw Mintel in maybe 2007, 2008, 87 to 89% of African-American women relaxed their hair. So that's a large chunk of women, of African-American women. And there was a routine with that. You know, you went to the salon or you bought a box. There were certain products that you used after, and you had a regimen and a schedule. So there wasn't a need for those particular companies to offer something different because this is what the majority of their people are using. When that started to shift and people stopped relaxing their hair, so today that number is something like 27, 28%, so it's dropped quite a bit.
So 27% of African-American women relax their hair now.
Right.
It's a huge drop.
So
not
now,
so much a long time.
There's all of this need for these new routines, these people discovering their hair for the first time after 30-something years or 20-something years or 40-something years. They're discovering what their texture is. Are they going to straighten it? Are they going to curl it? Are they going to braid it? Are they going to wear it super short? Who needs a gel? Who needs a cream? Who needs an oil? You know, so there's all of this need.
So they need new tools, new products, new everything.
And there's a lot of us out there trying to fill that void because for a long time, there were a handful of brands and thank God I was one of them and, you know, still survived. Now there's many, many more. And then the larger players, when they saw, okay, that relaxer business isn't coming back the way that it was, so I'll try and maintain what we've got, but now we've got to do something different because she wants something else. She needs something more. So I think there's a lot of good, and you know, maybe within 10 years we'll see who lasts and who doesn't, but I don't think it's going to shift. I think we're actually going to get more blended, and you know, there won't be this section of the aisle and that section of the aisle.
Obviously you think about these things when you're making products, but you're also still a creator, and now that your company is owned by L'Oreal, I'm sure that's opened up a lot of opportunities to innovate more and use their expertise as far as labs go and things. Like last year, I know you were telling me you went to Brazil on like a sourcing trip. Just use that as an example then. Like, what are you going to other countries to learn about? And like, what are you bringing back? Like, what is this giving you the opportunity to do?
What's interesting about Brazil is exactly what we were just talking about. When you're in Brazil, hair care is all one big store, all one big aisle. And it isn't separated based on the color of your skin. It's based on the need.
Do you think that has something to do with the demographics of Brazil too?
Absolutely. It's a very big melting pot. It's many, 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 many different hair textures. They have so many words for the different types of mixes of people. You know, if someone is African and Latin, or if they're African and Indian, or if they're Indian and white, there's all these, you know, different names. And there's one of the amazing things about traveling to Rio is just looking at people's hair. I mean, it's absolutely remarkable what you see, and you never know whose hair is really straight, because so many people do so much to their hair. And it's interesting, like someone like me, I go to Brazil and I bring back an ingredient like Prakashi, you know, not literally brought it back, but, you know, find out about it and then
what
come back
it?
Here and work with it. Prakashi.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
But
it's a nut.
Prakashi.
And there's an oil and a butter that comes from it. And it smells a lot like cocoa butter, but a little less chocolatey. And it has a golden amber color when it's an oil. And then when it's below room temperature, it's like a solid butter, not quite as dense as shea butter, but there's some similarity in the texture of it. And it has a behenic acid, which sounds like something bad because it's an acid, but it's actually a really great conditioner for skin and hair. And it's like one of the highest natural sources of behenic acid is in Prakashi. So I go there and I find something like that and think that's interesting and bring it back to work with as an ingredient. And people, you know, women in Brazil, the way that we look at skincare here in the US is how they look at hair care in Brazil. So we have our Botox, our masks, our chemical peels, all of the things that we do to stay young and not have wrinkles. They have all of the same types of things for the hair.
Oh, I need to go on a hair holiday there.
They will spend anything on hair. They will do anything to hair. The Brazilian blowouts that have the side effect of the formaldehyde, they don't care.
Yeah. That's like us sticking poison in our faces.
They'll figure out a cure for it before I get old, but for now I'm going to look good.
Yeah.
You know, it's everything is about their hair and what it looks like. And the more scientific it sounds, the better. So it's this very interesting thing of looking at a bottle that will have something like Jabotukaba or Prakashi in it, but then have all this science stuff. Because, you know, they don't mind if you put plastic in there, if you tell them that the plastic's going to make the humidity not get on their hair. Wow. Oh, really? Okay, put the plastic on. I'm fine. Good.
So you go on these, like, you know, ingredient safaris with L'Oreal for Carol's daughter.
And we get to work with their labs there. So their labs can show us what they're working on. Because the other thing that's interesting is that within that, and natural in Brazil has a different meaning than natural here, but within that natural hair community in Brazil, they're further behind than we are. So we can help them see the future when it comes to what that looks like for them, for that consumer. And they help us see the future in how we sell to everyone versus selling to segments.
Over the years, like, what was the most challenging product you ever made? Were you like, I want to make this, but it's just like, I can't get it right. And you keep going back to the drawing board. But you
Minoy.
Really? Mm-hmm. How come? Really?
We had challenges when it came to manufacturers. One was getting very close.
Oh, you should probably say what Minoy is. Oh, we were
all right. Because we all know what we're talking about, but nobody else does. So Minoy is our hair care range that focuses on repair. And Minoy is an ingredient that comes from French Polynesia. It's coconut oil that's infused with Tahitian gardenias. And we launched the Minoy line. We started with a shampoo, conditioner, and mask in 2011. I always mix it up if it's 10 or 11. I'm pretty sure it's 11. And it's hugely successful for us, and it's our top seller on HSN. And it took 3 years to develop it.
Wow.
Part of the reason was a manufacturer going out of business during the recession and us having to start over. And then it was sourcing the Minoy from French Polynesia so that we could talk about the culture and the history behind it, and getting certification from the Minoy Institute that we could put
because you wanted
on
the real
packaging.
Deal. You didn't want to just like put a little bit in and pretend.
Yeah, no. Wow. And then incorporating it into the formulas in a way that validates the seal from the Minoy Institute, but then also is stable in the formula and works. So
yeah,
it was a painstaking process, but it was worth it.
We always want to ask about the, you know, the favorite products of our guests. So, like, before we go hair, let's go skin. Okay. Skin ritual. What are your what's your go-to products?
I love to think of moisture in layers. Mm-hmm. So I don't just moisturize. I have to spritz. I love...
See, she spritzes, Jess.
I love rose water, and I have, like, a few favorites. I like the Jurlique rose water. I love Santa Maria Novella rose water. And Josie Moran has like an elixir thing that's like with the argan oil and waters. But I love some sort of spritzing. Like I have to spritz. And then usually I use an oil. Every now and then I'll try a serum when someone says, oh, this is really hot. Yeah. But I prefer like really basic oils like argan oil, rose oil, tamanu oil. And so my second step after the spritz is the oil.
Seal in the spritz.
And then typically...
Lisa knows what she's talking about.
And then I have dry skin, so I know I have to layer the moisture. And then typically I end with face butter from Carol's Daughter. But sometimes I'll use, just because I want to smell roses, I'll use Dr. Hauschka Rose Day Cream. But face butter is on my face like 90% of the time.
I don't think I've tried face butter.
I love
yet.
The name face
I
butter.
Need some face butter.
Face butter. And what about hair?
Yeah, what's the hair?
Hair is a similar, there's a spritz,
a layering.
There's an oil, and then there's a cream. So I typically...
Oh, we should mention how do you consider your hair type? I mean, I would say curly.
Curly?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And since people can't see you.
I'm a very wash and go person, because like I said, the tools, it's not a good thing. But I use the Minoy Anti-Breakage Spray as my spritz. That's my leave-in conditioner. And then for oil, I might use our Minoy serum, but then sometimes I'll just use pure Minoy oil or coconut oil. It really depends on my hair that day. Is it dry? Does it need a little extra?
Yeah.
And then the cream.
Are you a scruncher or like a twirl it in or twist
scrunch.
It? Okay, you scrunch.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
there's debate on this. That's why I asked. It's true. Some people don't want to break their curl pattern. I don't know.
I try not to touch my hair too much.
Right.
The more you, especially when it's wet, the more you touch it when it's wet, the frizzier it's going to be when it's dry. I finish up with the Hair Milk Moisturizer. Mm-hmm. So it's always a liquid, an oil, and then a cream.
And then hands off.
Yeah.
Okay, last question. Favorite fragrance and like favorite lip color, I guess. Are you a lip color person?
God, yes.
Like one color products.
She's
like, I can't. I got to give you a whole list.
I think the color that I'm most obsessed with right now is Pat McGrath. The Flesh, I think she called it when she came out this summer with the kit.
Yeah.
The Flesh one. So there's two. One that you can line with, and then one you can put in the center. But that's been really like my go-to. And I love Tom Ford Indian Rose as well.
Oh,
I like
that's a good one.
That's a good pinky one.
Yes, yeah, I have that one. It's a great one.
It's really pretty. Another like color go-to for me are the Naked palettes with Urban Decay.
Oh,
my favorite is two. But I just love that because I'm not really, really good at makeup. Mm-hmm. And there's just a way that those colors work. Fragrance, it's so hard to pick one because I love fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll go with Patchouli Amber.
And who makes that?
Tom Ford. Yeah.
It's been so much fun. I'm going to like build my confidence now. This was a great interview. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
This was great. It's time.
It's time to raise a wand.
Let's get raw. Between the sheets.
No, just kidding.
It sounded like that woman that does the radio show.
Which woman?
Somebody get us raise a wand music.
Okay.
Jess, what are you raising a wand to?
I am raising a wand to a bath soak.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What's a bath soak? Like a
salt?
It's
like a bubble bath.
Okay, what is it?
So I cleaned my bathtub.
Big production.
Okay. Huge production, but so worth it. You know when you have like a bubble bath and there's not enough bubbles?
Hate that.
And it's like, why did I even see your body
through the water?
And I'm just like, ugh.
Somebody's got to cover this up with bubbles.
Well, I took a bath, not for this purpose of having bubbles, but I wanted to try this Elemis Aching Muscle Super Soak. I know that sounds like very, you know, not very glamorous. It sounds very like, oh, I had a problem. I just wanted to chill.
Yeah.
But I was recommended this muscle soak because I heard it was very relaxing. Not only was it relaxing, it gave the most amount of bubbles that it was almost like a movie set bubbles. Like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
But I think of Elemis is like essential oils and like a soft bath soak. I wouldn't picture bubbles.
It delivered the essential oil like bang
with
for my
bubble.
Buck. You know, like it was very relaxing. I shuffled off to bed and I conked out, like just immediately conked out. Felt so relaxed. I said to my boyfriend, I'm like, you have to try this because he like actually works out. I was like, I felt my body was like as if I just had a 2-hour massage.
That's amazing.
But the bubbles were like out of control. I think I need to use less next time. Who am I kidding? I'm never going to use less. I might use more. But it was really fun. I don't know. I just felt like this was the experience I always wanted with
a
bubble
bath.
What's up with you?
My raise a wand is not nearly as exciting, I don't think, in the bubble realm. But it's exciting in a brain realm. It's a newsletter.
Okay.
It's The Underrated. It's actually a really good newsletter that I signed up for.
Oh, The Underrated, of course.
Not just because we're featured on it this week. That's not why I'm raising a wand. It's basically they take people in the creative industry and they make you share, like raise a wand almost. They make you share things that you love that just don't get a lot of love. Nobody's paid to promote. That's like these under the radar, quirky little things. I have discovered so many things on this newsletter. The Brooklinen Sheets thing that I always talk about. Found them there. Like weird bands. Good like restaurants that you never heard of. So I highly recommend you go to the website and subscribe. It is UNDRRATED.com and I'll put a link on the blog.
Awesome. That's a good one.
We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at Fat Mascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here.
I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.